Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Hi, I'm Mark Husson. When I created 1-2-listen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life, on demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at 1-2-listen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I'm Mark Husson, and 1-2-listen.com and the 1-2 family are my purpose. Give us a try. And if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Now do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I know now that we are one. There is no separation. We are one.
Host, radio host, I think, Anna Ferocious. Lisa is a wife and mother and lives in Bellingham, I'm going to England already, Washington, with her husband and 10-year-old daughter. She has a new book, her first book, I should say, is Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truths in America's Soul. So without further ado, I got my arms wide open. I'm jumping up and down at the same time to give a hug to my playmate, my wonderful friend, Lisa. Yay! Lisa. You brought the music on. That's what happened. You jumped up and down.
Well, what can I say? You know, I'm just a love bug for music all the way through. Sound is my healer.
Well, hey,
how are you?
I'm good. I'm so grateful to be here with you and everybody who's listening, whether it's live or in the archive, and I just feel full of gratitude and feeling also the inspiration from your bravery with the topic of family for a whole month. Because, you know, it's a very rich topic. And, you know, I mean, it's a whole lifetime worth of topic. But I'm just feeling really inspired by your having this for your theme. So thank you so much, Ambassa.
Yes, it is a pleasure, I tell you. I just thought, I said, well, you know, I know that what ends up happening for me is that I end up picking a topic that always affects me in some way. And I ended up picking this topic, and when I did, I was like, oh my goodness, I know. And I'm not afraid of it. I just kind of said, well, okay. I kind of tippy-toed. and I skated most of the month. I was like skating all the rail and everything, and all of a sudden, slip. Oh, my goodness, I'll tell you what. But first, before I get into all of my woes, just so big, I want you to just give people a little bit about where you are in this moment, because I don't know if you have a new book or if something else is going on, but just who is Lisa right now? I know that was written probably some years ago.
Hey, thank you for asking. You know, there's more than one book percolating in the background, but I'm disciplining myself for the right time for it to come out, because it's, you know, as we both know, it's quite a project to dedicate the time to do such a project. Most of my work right now, about half of it is one-on-one work, either in person or on the phone, and about half of it is in group, either in you know, like evening or one day or weekend long group experience, or I've got a couple of year long learning programs, kind of immersion experience with me, people who want to hang out with me for a year in this field of ancestry and family experience. So it's a rich life. I feel grateful for it. And my most important thing I'm doing is what I'm doing right now, which is being here with you.
Yes, indeed. I concur 1,000. So, now, with the word family, you know, I know that you really have delved into it deeply, and I really want to know your definition of family.
Wow. Well, it's good you're just catching me live. You know, not too much. You know, it's a big definition. It's family is both the people we come from, so our blood relation, you know, sometimes those are the people who raise us. Sometimes it's not the people who raise us, but family includes our blood relation and more. It includes people who, you know, there's family of the heart for sure, people who've had influence in our lives, either by taking care of us when we were growing up or people we choose, you know, in adulthood to be in connection with in a family-like way. For me, the other thing I'd say is I feel every day the reality of our human family, that we are all, no matter who we come from, where we come from, where we grow up, how we grew up, we are, as a people, one human family. So I feel family in that really big, broad sense, too. Yeah, thank you for the question. That's the answer that's with me today, yeah.
Absolutely. And so in your work, do you ever find yourself working with an actual family unit?
I do, yeah, I do. The work that I do is out of the box. It's not like a typical way of working. It's a kind of a blend. It's a big blend of indigenous wisdom with more modern family systems knowledge. And increasingly I find that like an adult daughter and her mom or her parents or a married couple or a brother and a sister or sometimes a three-generation set will come, you know, a grandparent, parent, adult child. So absolutely, it's a rich, rich thing when that happens.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that it's easier when that happens, or, you know, is it easier when people are standing in? And we want to hear a little bit about the process, and it might help people to understand why. excuse me, I'm asking this question.
Yeah, you bet, yeah. Well, the work that I do is what's called family constellations or systemic constellations, and it's a way of working either in group or one-on-one, but in a group work, what a person does is they have a particular life issue that they want to get help with, and the facilitator, like myself, invites them to pick people from the circle to represent family members. So one person represents a mother, another one a father, a daughter, a son, a husband, a wife, a grandfather, granddaughter, sister, brother, this kind of thing, and physically places them in standing position in the circle. What happens when we do this is it's kind of like taking the inner picture in the soul, the inner image of the family configuration, putting it into 3D in the group. And in that process, there is a kind of a, I find it rather mysterious, but it's a quite a consistent phenomena where the representatives reveal truths, particularly around truths that have been waiting from the family soul to be acknowledged. Things that have to do with hidden griefs or confusion about who belongs where in the system or traumas that have been frozen or in process of healing. And so the constellation experience is this unfolding of truth being compassionately acknowledged. And so when the person picks representatives, most often they're picking complete strangers to represent them or represent family members. It's quite a gift to do this because it shows us how universal the family experience is. And it also shows us how deeply in resonance we are with our ancestors. And so there's an uncanny thing that pretty consistently happens where the representatives report what are often these really important hidden truths from family life. So when family members come to this work together, it's still good that they pick people that they don't know to represent them. It's a really tremendous gift to have somebody else represent us for a little bit of time and space to get this very objective report from the soul about these hidden things that are operating, that are often blocking what we most are seeking, which is more freedom, more compassion, more clarity, this kind of a thing. So when family members experience this together, it also gives them a kind of a shared experience of compassion about the family pain that often in family life, you know, there are hidden sources of pain or grief, and the source of it is bigger than everybody. The source of it is often things that may have happened 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 generations back. It's rarely that the up-close pain in daily living is strictly about the here and now. It's more often the case where something got set in motion a generation or two or several back, and a pattern got going, and everybody's caught in it. So when a family comes to this kind of work together, they get to experience in an embodied way with each other in the same room at the same time how much actually blind love, hidden love is operating underneath the pain. And it's that same love that has the potential to create more freedom and belonging for everybody. So there's just, it's such a great question, and I just noticed as I'm talking, I could go on and on about it, but I'm going to take a break.
Yeah, and it's good. It's real. It is good that you go on and on about it, because it's something to go on and on about. And with the soul, so when you said the soul, were you speaking about the soul of the person that was placing the people, or the soul of the family, or is that the same in that sense?
Right, it's the same. The person who it's the soul, the family soul, the person who places the representatives in the circle, their own family soul. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that's interesting is, like, I have my family soul, you have your family soul. Our own family souls are absolutely in connection with each other in this greater collective human family soul. So that's another piece of the whole experience. So fabulous.
Yeah. That is absolutely fabulously wonderful, awesomely wonderful, outstanding, terrific. You know, and I had to get all of that out, because it really speaks to the spirit of things, the spirit, the one source, and, you know, the whole thing about we're one, and it sounds cliche almost now, but it's so real when you think about, you know, mediums and how they tap in and they go on shows now. TV shows, you know, are more these days bringing on mediums to talk about what's going on and tapping in, and some people are still rejecting, you know, the idea that this person can actually be delivering messages from that one source, you know, because that's what it really is everything is coming from that one source, and which really gives us so much back to ourselves, you know?
Yes.
And when I think about the work that you're doing with family, and I think about how really, you know, if people, well, there is an awakening. There's awakening, and then it's almost like the very, very slow motion flower opening, but there is an awakening. I can feel it. I can smell it. I can see it. I can taste it, you know? And I know that even as we speak, and the people who are listening will be able to, you know, really, really get the meat of what we're saying. You know, I really don't feel the energy of the blockages that were there before, even last week, last month, last year. You know, the energy now is opening so wide that the receivership, that just by the mere decision that we made to be here right now, he's speaking about, you know, on this playground. And I'm just loving it. I am absolutely loving it. I know we're going to have to take a break in a minute, but I do want to, I have something I really want to really address, and that is the energy that comes forth when people are transitioning in the family. And I want to, you know, kind of just inquire about that. I'm gonna go ahead and take the break so that we can have the rest of the time to really delve into that, because when people are find, this is the second time, well, third for me, that it's been major in a sense. And watching it, I see, I have a friend and her mom just passed last week, and you know, just the whole idea of what is happening in the family around that time and how they respond or react to the situation. So, yeah, you feeling me?
That's good. Thank you for letting me be with the question a little bit before the break so that I can come back with my best wisdom. Yeah, thank you. Yep.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So we'll be right back, and Lisa, I'll be back in a moment.
Okay.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
It's not always easy to see what is coming at you, or better yet, for you. You need someone in your corner who can help you navigate those blind spots. Life Coach Today has a unique ability to guide you toward clarity with compassionate coaching and an amazing sense of humor. As a coach for over 15 years, Life Coach Today has been working closely with people and freeing them to live their best life. If you are in a spot where your best friend's advice or family member's tips are not working for you, you want to step onto the playing field of life with a coach who will walk with you and support you in tapping into the best in you. When you are done with Life Coach Today, you will be the change you want to see. We'll give you practical tools to finally embrace all of you and empower you to step into your greater yet to be. For a 45 minutes complimentary session, email Life Coach Today at ask@lifecoachtoday.com. That's ask@lifecoachtoday.com or call 678-561-0607. That's 678-561-0607. Be still, listen, and be transformed.
Mom?
Dad?
Mom?
Dad?
You think if we talk about sex, I'll no longer be your little muffin head.
Your pumpkin face. Talk to me about sex.
Tell me to wait.
Sure, it'll change our relationship. It'll make us closer.
And go to 4parents.gov.
For help on how to talk about sex.
This is important.
Tell me to wait to have sex.
And don't worry.
I'll always be your muffin head.
Your cuddle bug.
Your butterbean.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
And we're back. Lisa, are you with me? Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, great. Yes, I can hear you now. The cyberspace took over for a minute. we went into the zone, into the void. We had to go and get all the answers and bring them back.
Yes, yes. Now we know all. Everything we know.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Ask us anything now. Just call in with the questions. Oh, Lord. Oh, my goodness, I tell you. This is some really powerful energy that is going on right now. I can't say it enough because I am in the experience of it. And I know that, you know, as I was saying earlier, you know, and you said, one of the things you said was about the family soul being the connected soul. And in that is the reason for my question, because the more I find that I bear my soul, or somebody might say bear my, I get more revealed to the truth of my ancestors and my beingness, you know, and it frees me up, you know, and the more that I find that I was in a shell before, and that shell I was always trying to cover, and the more that I pull and peel away that shell, the more I am revealed, and the more liberated I am. And so in that, I want to share the essence of anything, any experience that I find that comes up for me, that I know that others of me are experiencing, you know?
Yeah.
And that is the one when, you know, like I said, when people are transitioning and you have family members that, everything comes up, you know. It's like a constellation all itself. Places,
yes,
please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm speaking to in terms of people coming up and, you know, you having to actually experience, how would you deal with that if you had dealt with it before, whether anybody ever came to you in that trying moment of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where they had a parent who was just transitioning out of life, you mean?
Mm-hmm. And the family members were at the point of what we call showing out.
Yeah. Well, yes, I have certainly worked with people in that situation, more individually, you know, in group, in the group experience, it's usually a little bit of time has gone by the time they would come to work, in a group with that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that
makes
me, some time is needed. It's just time is needed. The things that come to me to say, and you just pick anything that I say that you want to ask more about or, you know, be with me with. First off is, you know, we're not as original as we want to think that we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is one of the things that, in family life, in the Western part of the world, particularly in the U.S., we're growing to recognize this, that the experience of our ancestors is, we are more often than we realize in resonance with the experiences that they had. And so how it is that other elders or other family members transitioned earlier in the generations, before we were even born, how those situations were experienced in the family can absolutely be having an effect with a present circumstance. So, for example,
maybe when a grandparent or a great-grandparent was transitioning out of life in this realm, if the children had some difficulty with each other, maybe they were fighting over inheritance, or maybe they were fighting over who did a good job or didn't do a good job taking care of the elder parent, or you know, there was conflict for whatever reason. If that conflict went unresolved, that can be having a tremendous influence on a present circumstance of the same situation. So the present generation can be playing out a conflict that was experienced earlier in the lineage that doesn't have anything to do with them now. It's just out of this blind love resonance with earlier energy. So that's one thing to just be with and consider. Another is that, you know, grief, American culture is pretty avoidant of grief. And so we do not have the cultural supports or permission for grief to be expressed in the organic, natural, human way it wants to be expressed. You know, the reality is everybody grieves differently. And so in a culture that wants to avoid it, it puts a stress on everybody. So in a situation, a family situation like this, a lot of times the grief goes sideways. A lot of times the grief over an elder passing or anybody's death, the grief gets, it just, the energy of it goes sideways. And so there can be conflict and estrangement simply because it's the grief not having a way to be released. So there are other things that come to me to say, but I just want to just stop with those two things and see.
Okay. So then, you know, in the situation, what comes up for me when you you're speaking about the first situation, particularly. And I get the idea. I'm with the second one too. The first one, you know, when I feel that, and I'm feeling what my situation is at this moment, and probably a lot of other people, is that there's when there's a chasm, a rift, based on, in this case, it's my stepmom. Okay, and my dad passed 3 years ago. My siblings are, you know, still bitter, you know, about a lot of things that went on in that particular that extended family, and now, you know, the energy for me, the understanding for me, the wanting to feel and understand. The energy of not why, but then yes, why this soul would, is there a soul of this extended family with my immediate family that somewhere down in the generations had to, you know, has to be resolved based on what's happening now, because the extended family, my stepmom's children, you know, they feel the way, whatever they feel too, you know, so it's like, you know, everybody's feeling the way, and, you know, in my being, you know, and standing for love, you know, I'm, you know, willing to move and groove through it, you know, literally, you know, and so I find myself, you know, just standing in my, what I feel truth is speaking to me about how I need to move, and that's why I'm here in Virginia right now, is because I know I need to be here, you know, and so I feel that, you know, there's the question for me is that, is there a soul of this particular extended and immediate family that needs healing? It, yeah, that's it. I'm going to stop there.
Well, what I'm kind of keying into and just remembering how deeply there's often confusion in blended family situation about where everybody belongs. And again, it's a situation bigger than everybody. But when two people get together and they had children with other parents, it creates a different order of belonging with the children and the stepchildren as brothers and sisters with each other. So how they look at each other, how it goes both directions, how the children, stepbrothers, stepsisters, look at one another is deeply influenced by how the grown-ups, how the parents and the step-parents look at each other. So there can be a way that we think we really want to think, again, in our culture especially, we want to think that we are so much more free than what we really are, that we are independent beings of our own minds and our own wills, and the reality is there is a much bigger web operating that's influencing us in the family experience and in all aspects of life, where I may be looking at, so maybe my you know, the situation, my dad, he's passed, but I've got a stepmother. Well, I'm going to look at my stepsisters. I may be looking at them through the eyes of my biological mother. They might be looking at me through the eyes of their biological dad. Both of those people might be dead. Yeah. But in my soul, you know, again, it's about, is there freedom in the soul for me to, you know, children are so often, without realizing it, well into adulthood. Sometimes they go to their grave. Often being somehow in their soul, being deeply involved in their parents' relationships, deeply involved in their parents' marriages or their parents' divorces. So all that stuff, you know, when an elder's transition, it's like it comes out even more in full force. There's a lot of loyalty, blind love, loyalty energy that gets activated in life and death. Children will feel trapped. They don't feel free to accept everybody. And it comes out of, the thing that's so, such a tremendous gift from this work with the family constellation approach is it releases everybody from our human impulse to blame or judge when there's a situation that's causing pain, you know. It really shows us how the confusion that's there, the dynamics that get played out, are out of love. It's often a kind of a blind love. But the process is about helping us move from blind love to an awake love that really sees, but he truly does have their place of belonging. It's asking to be respected and restored. But when there's pain operating, it's often because there's confusion about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said earlier, just now about them coming from the viewpoint of the biological mother, and it triggered for me how I found out about this, that my stepmom was even passing and transitioning, is because I had a dream where my mom stood in. My mom came, and I thought it was my mom because, you know, it looked like my mom, you know, and everything. But all the actions, all the mannerisms, everything about the dream, about the woman not being appreciated and all of that, was my stepmom. Every single thing, you know.
the grandchildren being there and her taking care of the grandchildren all their lives and, you know, just the whole kit and caboodle. It's just all there, and it's powerful that you said that about, you know, the viewpoint, because somehow my mother got involved, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
and from a spirit realm, she got involved and stood in to let me know that this was actually going on. And then when I revealed it to my sister, that's when I found out that she had, my other sister had found out the day before or whenever, that she was hurting. So it was really powerful in that the other part of what you were saying about the blind loyalties my brother has for my dad. He feels like he was mistreated, he wasn't treated right, he was, you know, all those things. And so he's not going down, he's not calling, he's not doing anything. And then, you know, and then on the other side, the stepsister, she's dealing with blind loyalty. She feels like, you know, me visiting is taxing, and her mother doesn't want me to see her like that. And when her mom is the one that called me there, you know. But it's releasing for me. This is the part that releases me. The part that releases me, for me, is that I'm standing and where I am. I'm sitting where I am. I am accepting whatever is in there, you know, that comes for me. If that's what you feel, I just want you to have all of the facts. Let me just share this with you. And so for me, it's a very healing process. I feel that's why I wanted to bring it up, because it is a healing process, and I know that sometimes that confusion can be there for years, way after the people are gone, you know?
Yes.
And it has to be a way for us to really move through this, you know, and in the human family, you know?
Right. Yeah, and I mean, what a gift to share with all of us the dream and the fact that it was your mom in the dream. Your stepmom is going to the same place in the spirit world that your mom already is.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that going on too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in that,
go ahead.
Well, and in the process, you know, part of what we don't often see, that it's such a gift for us to remember in this part of the world, is that through life and death, love never dies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a confusion about that in our human family in this part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's through the process of reclaiming the sacredness of grief. It's
mm-hmm.
not unless we are allowed grief that we can really feel the truth that love never dies. Because
mm-hmm.
the thing is that when the grief process doesn't happen, there's confusion, really deep confusion, about who's alive and who's dead.
Mm-hmm.
There's this
mm-hmm.
very big phenomena that happens where somebody who's alive can
mm-hmm.
feel kind of half dead, half alive, and the ones who've
mm-hmm.
already passed feel restless in the spirit world because
mm-hmm.
the ones who are alive haven't fully allowed them to die. So
yes,
they're
indeed
in a restless place. In death. So it's a really big
yes.
package of connection, how all this goes.
Yes, and I really trust that people are really listening and really listening to what's being said and what's not being said, because all of it is fruitful, and it's coming for us. It's coming for us like this big wave tsunami. I'm telling you that this is so real that, you know, we all get this, because in life we do. We are, and that speaks to the blind loyalty. You know, my brother, you know, the same problem that he was having with his leg when he had to leave my dad's hospital room because he just couldn't take watching him pass. He couldn't take it. So his leg
yeah.
had to, it moved him out of there. His leg had to move him forward. He got to get out. His leg was hurting, you know. Mm-hmm. And so he got released from the duty. He got released, and the next day my dad passed, and I know he's holding that. I know he's holding it because my father said he would rather not be alone, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was put on the front burner, and everybody knew that he did not want to be by himself because he wanted to pass with dignity, and he wanted to make sure that he had people around him who loved him. And my brother had to leave because he just couldn't take it anymore. And so he is the one who is in between the two because he cannot get rid of the pain, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I really trust that people who are listening to this broadcast can really get the whole idea that family is, it is so important for us to really recognize what that familiar energy is. And everything that's around us, you know, it's everything that exists, you know.
Yeah.
And so I really, yes, I appreciate your words. Please leave us with some more wisdom. I'm ready.
thank you. Me too. I'm inspired by the timeliness, the just right timeliness of a conversation I had with another wise, beautiful person just before our conversation now. And we were just speaking about the sibling relationship and what it's like to be tending to an elder who's getting ready to transition. It's the same thing. So the connectedness, is just very alive and well. And I said, you know, there's often such a pressure on siblings that they're not even aware of. There's an expectation of closeness, like they're supposed to have a certain kind of closeness that I encourage release of too much expectation from one another that it's supposed to be a certain way. That, you know, the reality is there's if a person's lucky enough to have siblings, there's very few siblings. There are very few people in life that are that for that person. You know, maybe they have one or two or three or four. But you could have emotional closeness. You could have emotional intimacy with a lot of different people. You could have that with friends, with a partner, you know, with coworkers, with a spiritual community. It's good to let that expectation be released from the relationship, that there's supposed to be emotional intimacy or closeness with a sibling. It's good people take a break from that expectation because, you know, expecting it of oneself or the other one usually makes people feel bad and it puts undue stress on the relationship.
Well, I hope everybody got that because that was golden nuggets from the very deepness of the ocean. Lisa, I'm hugging you up. I'm wrapping you up with all the love I got. Thank you so much for being with me. I'm going to look for you again on the playground.
Very good. Please call anytime.
I love you.
What blessing you are. I love you too. Thank you for you, Ambassa. Thank you so much, and we'll be with you again.
All right, I love you. I'll see you soon.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, you've heard it first. We were going to give you a little bit of taste of music, but we're going to go ahead and sign off and stay with us next month. And I'm so glad that you were with us. Ambassa out. Much love.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage. Make that move.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.